A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all throughout the wheat and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' His slave said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning. But the wheat, gather into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds. Yet when full grown, it's the largest of plants, becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world.' Then dismissing the crowd, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds and the wheat.' He said in reply, 'He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Last week, Jesus gave us the parable of the sower, seed, and soil to indicate to us how he wishes us to receive his work and his word within us. We know from our basic knowledge of farming what normally occurs once a seed has been planted in good soil. Starts to grow and eventually produces fruit, and those fruit likewise contain within many seeds that can be planted elsewhere. Spiritually, the same thing is supposed to happen. With a hat trick of different images in this Sunday's gospel, Jesus describes the transition from a fertile disciple to a fruitful apostle, in which we begin to share with others what we ourselves have received. His words contain 3 very important lessons about how the kingdom of God grows, how the church grows, how you and I grow spiritually. And so far as each of us has been called and chosen by God through the church to enter into and expand his kingdom, these 3 parables are deeply relevant to who we are and what God calls us to do. In one parable, Jesus tells us that the church, like a mustard seed, starts small but grows to be huge. In a second, he adds that the members of the church are meant to function in the world like yeast does in bread. We're supposed to make everything rise. In the third, he states that the church's growth doesn't happen in a vacuum. There's also an enemy in the field, sowing weeds to try to wreck God's harvest. In other words, to destroy you and me and those we know and love. The three go together and are meant to guide us at every moment of the church's life. Let's examine them. First parable is that the church grows like a tiny mustard seed. From the small seed of Christ implanted by God in Mary's womb to the calling of just a few disciples and apostles filled with the Holy Spirit, the church was born and grew, into the largest of shrubs in which countless people throughout the ages, including whole nations, have been able to come and find shelter in her branches. That tree is alive. And we're branches on Jesus, that vine. The branches of the church extend in areas of great sunshine and of great darkness, with all of us taking our root in that one event, that one piece of good soil on Calvary, that one seed of Jesus who fell to the ground 3 times and died, but rose again like a plant in springtime, giving life to all of us throughout time. This lesson of the mustard seed recurs throughout church history. So many religious orders and apostolates that the Lord has raised up started small, often with one saint, but over the course of sufferings and patience, they grew to be enormous. So many parishes began with just a handful of poor, committed families, but over the course of years and decades, with sacrifices, elbow grease, time, and the help of the Lord, grew to be quite large. Sometimes we can ask ourselves, though, whether what Jesus said about the mustard seed has an expiration date. It seems that many religious orders, many parishes, even whole dioceses, are not experiencing continued growth, but shrinkage. The Archdiocese of New York, at least here in Manhattan, is closing churches and schools rather than building new ones. Does this parable still have meaning? Of course it does. If we've gotten smaller, the Lord hasn't wanted it, but He's permitted it. Why? So that we can all experience anew the full meaning of the parable, through beginning again, beginning smaller, like the new mustard seed planted from a tall tree. The truth is that when the church has become as big as a Middle Eastern mustard tree, many of us can forget the lessons God teaches us in this parable. When the church is an enormous institution, many people can stay on the periphery and neither share in nor contribute to the growth God wants to bring about, convincing themselves that others will do the maintenance, pay the bills, welcome newcomers, spread the faith, that they can just reap the fruits and not get involved. But when we become closer to the size of a mustard seed, we can't pass the spiritual buck. We need to step up to the plate. And this actually is a grace. It's a challenge. It's a promise and image of hope. The Lord Jesus wants us to become the living 21st century illustration of this parable. He wants us to have a chance to experience the exhilarating growth of the mustard seed. As we root ourselves in Him, we have every hope that, just like thousands of times before us in the history of the church, we'll get bigger again. And many others will be able to nest in the branches that will come from this union. We just need to trust in Jesus like the first Christians did. We need to believe in Him like the founders of religious orders. We need to confide in Him like the pioneer generations of lay faithful in parishes who sacrificed so much to build their parishes on firm foundations. Second image Jesus gives us today to describe the growth of His kingdom in the church is that of yeast in bread. The bread is the whole world, and we Christians are called to be the leaven. One Catholic in a neighborhood, one truly Christian family on a street, one faithful disciple in a workplace or school should be enough over time to transform that neighborhood, street, school, or workplace. The true Christian is the opposite of a bad apple. We know that one bad apple can quickly corrode a whole bushel. Christians are supposed to be the good apples. We're supposed to be the yeast that can make the whole world rise to God. And the Lord Jesus wants us to be the yeast of this city. A saint always is, and we're called to nothing less. Just think about how many people, one woman born in 1910, in a tiny little place in Albania did who became known as Mother Teresa, or a guy born in between the wars in a village outside of Krakow named Karol Wojtyla, who became known as John Paul. Think about what Dorothy Day did here in the city, or Francis Xavier Cabrini, or Elizabeth Ann Seton, or even John Newman when he used to be assigned to the Cathedral of Old St. Patrick's. God can give us the same grace he gave them to increase and influence the circles we inhabit. We just need to respond like they did. Jesus tells us today we likewise need to understand that that growth won't happen in a vacuum. His third parable concerns the fact that while the Lord wants this growth to be occurring, there's an enemy trying to sabotage his plans. Jesus identifies the enemy as the devil. At the same time that he is trying to sow good seed, and he defines the good seed as the children of the kingdom, at the same time Jesus is trying to sow us in the world, the devil is sowing those who are beholden to him and his lies, whom Jesus calls the children of the evil one, who cause others to sin and do evil. They're the anti-yeast. Rather than lifting everyone up toward God, bring people down, to behave without faith or supernatural vision, to comport themselves like proud devils, to behave morally, sometimes even like animals. Does anyone deny that these weeds exist in our world and that the field of our culture is becoming more and more populated with them? From those pushing the destruction of human life or of marriage or the family, to those getting states to sell pot so that people can get high rather than go to God, to television channels and websites pushing porn, to politicians seeking to eliminate religious freedom, to celebrities exhibiting irresponsible, materialistic, and hedonistic lifestyles. Some of the weeds, sadly, are even in the church, who do evil rather than good, including sometimes those who wear collars. People who are more attuned to the spirit of the age than to the Holy Spirit, who seek to live as everyone else does, rather than as Christ and the saints do. There are two lessons in this third parable. The first is that good seed and bad seed exist together and grow up together. The weeds and the wheat Jesus refers to in the Middle East are indistinguishable during their early phase of growth. Not even expert farmers can tell the difference between them. When they grow enough to be able to distinguish, their roots are so intertwined that you can't separate them without ripping out the wheats by the roots as well. So one needs to let them grow, to take them all out and then separate them on sifting tables, lest the good wheat be contaminated by the toxic fruit of the weeds. By this parable, Jesus is saying that the same patience and prudence have to be exercised with the proclamation of the kingdom. We can't really tell the difference between the good and the bad, especially early in life. We can't judge by present appearances. We need to wait until the end when Jesus himself will judge. Otherwise, we would have lost St. Paul. We would have lost St. Augustine. We would have lost St. Mary Magdalene. Probably some of us likewise would have been goners had the harvest taken place before our conversion. So Jesus is saying we shouldn't be surprised or overly discouraged when we find bad seed in the church. But the second lesson Jesus teaches is that while such weeds can provide frustration for the farmer or for the Christian, they ultimately can't stop the growth of the good seed. And he wants us to focus on growing until harvest time, to keep our faith with zeal until the end, asking him to help us bring about much more good seed, rather than spending ourselves all time in a vortex complaining about the bad. At this Mass, through these inspiring parables, the Lord wants to strengthen us to carry out this crucial mission of the spreading of his kingdom and the salvation of the world. As St. Paul tells us today in the second reading, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, interceding for us so that we may receive on good soil what God wants to give us and help us to become living illustrations of what Jesus is teaching. Today, Jesus plants both the seed of his word as well as himself as the word made flesh into us, so that we might become the children of the kingdom he can plant within the world. He helps us to become his yeast, leavening all around us, both inside and outside our barrel. He wants his life to grow within us, so that through us faith can grow in the world. And Jesus wouldn't be calling you and me to this mission, to be good seed, mustard trees, and leaven, unless he were prepared to give us everything he knows we need to live up to that call. Here at Mass, he gives us Miracle-Gro fertilizer and tells us anew, whoever has ears to hear ought to hear. Praise be Jesus Christ.